Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OGG Basketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
So, Nick, we're doing the also an original show preview because it's just us two today.
Yes. You know, we try to actually record this like 600 times. No, really just two other times. This audio issue. So shout out to the guests that tried to make it happen, but it didn't work out. So Corey and I were just like, you know, we're going to bang it out ourselves. We're both from New York, so we should be able to do a good job on the Knicks. Before we get started previewing the Knicks, though, just a reminder, check out the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But before we talk about the preview for next season, we're going to look back at last year. Knicks were 29-53. Porzingis tore his ACL in early February. You know, Hornacek fired at the end of the season. Thoughts on last year for the Knicks?
Well, first off, third time's a charm. So last year for the Knicks, there were moments that they actually looked really good. At times, it looked fun. When Porzingis was healthy, I mean, he had some of the biggest blocks last season. He looked like he took a step forward. Tim Hardaway Jr. being back in New York, the money's a little high, but I really do like Tim Hardaway Jr.'s game. As long as he's healthy, he's a pretty solid, I think, number two option for most, for the Knicks in the future. And then, I mean, Kanter had some nice big games. And then, you know, Porzingis got hurt and things went south really fast. You know, this team finished, I think, with 53 losses. So they just couldn't win. And then the highlight, which we'll talk about, you know, in the second half of this season was really, you know, Calvin Cambridge, Trey Burke. So, I mean, it's not good when guys like that from the G League are your highlight. Maybe it is going forward, but it was a rough year for the Knicks, especially because Hardaway Jr. missed some time too. So for the most part, this Knicks like best player at one point in time was Kanter.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, they start the season with a bang. A lot of people going to the year, I think they had a rough preseason. It looked like they were going to be a really bad team. A lot of spacing issues, question at point guard and whatnot. They went to go 16-13. And then from that point on, they kind of collapsed. And then when Porzingis went down, the season just went terrible. I believe they finished the year 5-24. So obviously 5 wins over almost 30 games is not good. Hornacek was also part of the problem. You know, they did win games early, but they're playing way too many veterans. They wanted to develop some of the young guys like Frank Ntilikina. You know, Jarrett Jack was getting big minutes at points in the season. Also, another thing for Hornacek, they were 29th in three-point attempt rate in the NBA, so they weren't attempting a lot of threes. Now with that modern NBA, obviously playing Kanter a lot, who isn't good defensively, doesn't shoot the ball. He's more of your old-school center. So, and like you said, Trey Burke kind of popped up. A couple young guys were okay, but overall it was a pretty disappointing season. For any team, when your best player goes down mid-season, you know, you're not going to have a successful year.
Can we just say Hornacek was truly trash?
Yeah, that situation just never worked out. And you and I have talked about it on previous shows. He pretty much ruined that relationship with Hermann Gomez. The Knicks ended up trading him at the deadline to the Hornets for a second-round pick, which, you know, isn't horrendous, but it looked like Will and Hermann Gomez had a lot of potential the previous year making the all-rookie team, and then he just didn't see any minutes. You know, and it's like the Knicks weren't ever going to go to the playoffs and win a playoff series or anything. You know, they might have squeezed in for the AC best-case scenario, but why would you not play this young piece that had a lot of potential?
Honestly, that's probably one of the most, like, under-talked-about storylines from this past season is how an all-NBA rookie got no floor time for the team that he just won All-NBA Rookie for the following season. Especially when, like you said, Kyle O'Quinn and Kanter were the two centers this guy was going against. I mean, Joakim Noah was obviously, he was never in the picture.
He was just fighting the coach.
Yeah, I mean, fighting the coach who, from everything I read, initiated it.
Yeah.
You know, Hornacek was, I don't know. I said this in the past, and I'll say it now, like, I don't think Hornacek is going to ever have a job in the NBA again as a head coach. Like, I just don't see how going from the Suns to now going to the Knicks, how anybody looks at him and goes, yeah, I want this guy to be my head coach.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take some time, maybe work as an assistant for a few years. Maybe he'll get another shot. But
back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Anytime you ruin relationships and have lack of success like they did. You know, if Porzingis was healthy, maybe he doesn't get fired. Maybe things go a little bit better, but there definitely were a lot of question marks. Like you mentioned, what's a highlight of last season for the Knicks?
The highlight is Calvin Cambridge. Trey Burke was, my voice has cracked a couple times here. All righty. Calvin Cambridge, Trey Burke. You and me were together for your birthday. We went out to a sports bar with your family, and on these many TV screens between college basketball, they had the Knicks and Celtics game on. And we saw Trey Burke drop, you know, 26 and 12. And I remember just the entire time, just I think I must have hit your shoulder and said, yo, you see what Trey Burke is doing, like five or six times. Like, I was just like in awe that Trey Burke was really balling out like he was. He had like a 42 outburst, two against the Hornets. He was just, I mean, he was the highlight. He brought a glimmer of hope and a bright light to this Knicks team when it was, you know, at a really low time after Porzingis went down.
Yeah, it gave him a reason to watch. You know, when a team's so bad, there wasn't a ton of young pieces. Obviously, Frank Ntilikina was there, but Trey Burke popped up from the G League, which is exactly what you want to do when you're having a bad season. Call up some G League guys, see if you can kind of find somebody for the following season's a rotation piece. And it looks like Trey Burke, he looked a lot more like the guy that was drafted in the lottery than the guy who fell into the G League. You know, it was nice to see him get up to that point, and now it looks like he'll be able to stay in the NBA, depending on what happens this season. You know, you and I have also talked about when you're doing good things on a bad team, sometimes the numbers are a little inflated. It'll be nice to see moving forward what he can do on a pretty good team. Obviously, that probably is not going to happen this year, but he'll have a chance to prove himself even more this year. But for me, though, I think my highlight of the season was Frank Ntilikina's defense. Like, I was really impressed for a rookie to come in the NBA, you know, coming from international basketball, which some of us consider soft, which in some cases isn't really true. So I think Frank coming over, and he showed a lot of potential about being a guy. I don't know if he'll be, you know, an all-star point guard or anything that like that, but he definitely can be a starter and a possible all-defensive team guy. And a lot of another pick that was kind of shaded by the Knicks fans turned out to be pretty good.
I love Frank. Frank the Tank. I'm a big Frank guy. You're right, too. He gave the Knicks hope that, well, Knicks fans hope that they might actually have a future point guard going forward in this kid. You know, the offense has got to come along, the jump shot and some better playmaking abilities. But on the defensive side of the ball, you got to love what you see.
Yeah, I'd be very happy if I was a Knicks fan. So shout out to another solid pick for them. But moving to the negative side, biggest disappointment of last season for the Knicks.
It's got to be the Porzingis injury. Especially because this is the face of your franchise. You're all in on Porzingis. And then, you know, a knee injury is never good in the first place. A knee injury to a big man, it's two red flags. Obviously, it's just the first one. It's not like this has been a recurring issue. So with today's modern technology and all that, he should be okay. He should be good to go. They're saying, you know, maybe by Christmas, maybe he sits out for this upcoming year. But that's got to be the most disappointment, just the fact that your star player got hurt. And it just makes a lot of question marks going forward because now you just don't know. I mean, we all expect good things and expect it to be nothing. But at the end of the day, the front office, the brass and all that, and the fan base, you just have to be somewhat worried.
Yeah, I agree. I think Porzingis going down is definitely a major disappointment. He was averaging 22 a game with 6 rebounds, you know, 2 blocks, looking like he was going to be – he was almost an MVP candidate at certain points during the season. Obviously, the Knicks weren't good enough that he'd ever win, but he probably could have got himself in the top 10 voting. And moving forward, he looks like a guy who will be a top 5, top 3 power forward or center wherever he ends up playing. He just has a great skill set. And knee injuries are definitely a little bit scary, especially for a guy with the mobility that he's had at his size, which makes him so unique. Being that unicorn, that's a red flag for sure. I think another thing would be trading for Emmanuel Mudiay. He didn't look very good, you know, shot a terrible percentage. Lance Thomas as well. He hasn't ever really got back to that point after injuries. So a couple guys on the team just really underperformed, shot bad percentages. But overall, the Porzingis thing is going to overshadow the season and probably this season as well, because I know you and I don't think that he'll probably play this season, or it doesn't make sense to play him this year. If you had to go, what do you think the Knicks are going to do with him? Do you think they're going to play him, or they're going to let him sit the whole year?
It's really – all right. So I think because I have to look at James Dolan – for me, I feel like he just wants money.
One of the worst owners in the NBA, just throw that out there.
I feel like for him, it's going to be a money grab. Yeah. Especially maybe, I mean, it's Madison Square Garden. They generally sell out anyways. But if they aren't selling out games, I would not be surprised if he, I mean, obviously he has no say and he's just the owner. But if he tries to do everything he can for this team or for them to try and push to somewhat compete for an 8 seed and to try and get Porzingis back on the court. I think if this team is around, you know, 10 games under 500 and they're still like, you know, 5 games out of the 8th seed and Porzingis can go and he's good to go, they're going to bring him back. I just feel like this team, this is just the Knicks. This is what they would do. And, you know, maybe that's a good idea because maybe You'll attract a free agent in this upcoming offseason, but I just think that's the wrong move. You have your draft pick. This is not a great draft. You got to really get a top five pick to have a guy who can probably make a difference to your team. And even then, it's still, you know, basically a flip of a coin. So for me, like you said, we're both, you know, close to this, that we think he just sit out. I think the Knicks are going to make him play, and I just think it's the wrong idea.
This is where I think Porzingis is the type of player that is taking advantage of players having more power than they used to. I think that if he doesn't want to play, he's not going to play, and he's going to tell them no. It might cause more problems with the relationship, but we already know that relationship was a little bit iffy, and David Fizdale, the new head coach, is trying to smooth things down. I believe Scott Perry knew in the front office as well, trying to smooth that out. So I think they might give Porzingis a little control, but I wouldn't be surprised, like you said, if there is pressure from top. And Dolan's been a guy known to kind of get in the front office and interact with things. I know he's messed up a few trades in the past and whatnot. So I think it would make the most sense, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks were like, all right, Porzingis, we'll let you play. And it could go terribly bad because he could play, you know, not up to standard, not being 100%, not look that good, look rusty, and kind of send the wrong message to free agents, where I feel like if they have a really bad season, they get a top pick and, you know, they bring in one of these, you know, big names like Zion or RJ or something like that, it almost makes the Knicks more attractive. And then you're like, yeah, we were bad last year. Porzingis wasn't 100%. We gave him the whole season to get back to his, you know, full level, and now he's looking good. We'll add you, and now we'll be a beast in the East. You know, don't worry about last season. It was all about development for Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, Robinson, who we'll talk about later. So I think it would make the most sense to not play him, but like you said, wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks make the wrong move. Also, you never know. Porzingis could also want to get back in the court. I mean, these guys are NBA players, but the fact it happened in February and it didn't happen earlier in the season kind of makes it a little bit harder to bring him back and actually have a real impact. And I'd be surprised if the Knicks were able to stay afloat without him, because the East is bad, but the Knicks are pretty bad with the roster they have without Porzingis.
See, and that's a big part of it too, Nick, is Porzingis' side of things, you know, putting yourself in the player's shoes. Like, I can just think about it as myself as a competitor. I know you're a very competitive guy too. Like, I would want to be out there. Like, if I'm good to go, like, put me back out there. Like, I've rolled my ankle really bad in like pickup games, and they'd be like, are you good? You want to sub you out? And I'm like, fuck no. Like, keep me in. I'm good to go. Like, just give me a second to walk this off. So, like, coming back from a knee injury, those are still like your brothers and your teammates out there. I also feel like Porzingis is just that kind of guy that he is going to want to be out there if he's healthy. It's not a bad thing, but, you know, for the Knicks' sake of a team, I just think it would be best to sit him out just for obviously that issue too.
Yeah, and then there's always a chance of, you know, knock on wood, you don't want this to happen, but he could always re-injure it, obviously not tear it again, but something could go wrong coming back a little bit too soon. But
or
we'll
pull a muscle, because that happens too, you know, like your muscle imbalance, you end up having injuries in other places because of a different injury.
Yeah, it's pretty common when you hurt your one leg with a major injury that you'll hurt the other leg because you're overcompensating. So, you know, and also in playing devil advocate to myself, you know, there could be the thing is like, oh, we'll let him get the rust off to finish the season, and next year he's 100%. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different avenues, but I think the safe bet when you have a player like him who is a franchise-changing player, you know, like we said, possible MVP candidate in the future, you want to be as safe as possible with him. Moving on, though, to this year's rankings, you know, OTG Power Rankings from the staff of over 15 guys voted, you know, and the Knicks came in at number 27. Thoughts on this ranking? Too high, too low, fair?
Fair. This is fair to start, but this is one of the few teams I think is going to go backwards, especially if Porzingis doesn't sit out. Like, this is probably going to be a bottom three team, probably playing for the worst record if Porzingis doesn't come back. And because likely, too, in the scenario, Courtney Lee probably gets traded. You know, maybe Kander does, too. And then the team becomes really, really bad. So I think this is fair for now, but I do think it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I think it could definitely get worse if they buy into that full-on tanking. You know, like we've talked about on previous shows, we're not really sure who's going to tank this year, and it looks like the only lock is the Hawks. So if you have a bad record from the start and you really buy into tanking, which we've talked to some Knicks fans, and they think they're going to play the young guys right from the beginning, you know, it would make sense to go down and be one of the worst teams this year, use it for full-out player development, call up a few more G League guys, trade away Courtney Lee, trade away Kanter, maybe bring in another young piece for another draft pick, set yourself up nice for the offseason and nice for future seasons instead of trying to make something out of nothing. So I think this is a fair ranking. And like you said, it could go down, and there is potential of it going up a few spots as well if Porzingis were to come back sooner than expected.
Yeah, I think that's about right for this Knicks team. And it feels good. I'm okay with the Knicks being this bad. Like, I enjoy watching Knicks fans, like, just have these expectations. Like, a couple years ago, we got a super team, and like, everyone bought into it. It's like, no, you don't. You got Rose, Melo, Porzingis. Like, shut up. Like, realize where you are. And now, like, since they're down here, they're starting to realize that they are actually rebuilding. They don't have to play for playoff spots.
Yeah, I think this would be the right time to finally go into rebuild and just be like, all right, instead of what Phil Jackson did where he kind of half-assed the rebuild, this time you go full in, develop these guys. Maybe you get lucky next offseason, sign a big name. But if not, you have young pieces to move forward with, a high draft pick, and you'll be in good shape.
And moving you got – oh, sorry. Ahead, can we just segue into this, Nick? Can we just talk about Fizdale now?
Yeah, that's actually where I was going. The new addition, David Fizdale in, Hornacek out. Fizdale, one of the most liked coaches by NBA players in the league. He's got the respect of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and we know he was kind of wronged in Memphis. Thoughts on Fizdale coming to New York?
They ain't going to rook us. They ain't going to rook us. Take that for data. This is, like we just mentioned, like I think this is like a perfect segue of like talking about how this Knicks team is finally ready to rebuild, because now they're setting a new culture. They're bringing in the young guys, and they have a new head coach to form the new direction. Like, this is literally – and then for the Knicks, I mean, this is good. Like, David Fizdale is a very good coach. Like, he like you mentioned, he was wronged in Memphis. Obviously, him and Marc Gasol had their issues. And the organization, I'm sorry, you're playing for 50 games, and you rather have old-ass Marc Gasol than David Fizdale, fine by me. I would love – I'm going to love to see where you guys are in 5 years. Fizdale was wrong for sure, but he's now in New York, the mecca of sports. And like you mentioned, those relationships with LeBron James, Wade, like that's going to pay off. If Porzingis is healthy and Hardaway Jr. looks solid and stays healthy, and the rookies that we're going to talk about, if some of those guys pop off, I mean, New York will look like a very nice destination for all-stars.
Yeah, get rid of that Joakim Noah contract, and they'll, I think, have almost two max spots, maybe move Courtney Lee as well. They'll be in really good shape. And like you said, Fizdale coming here, you know, is probably one of the best coaches. You know, some Knicks fans wanted Mark Jackson or some of the big names, but I thought Fizdale was a perfect fit. And I almost, you know, being a Nets fan, I didn't want them to get Fizdale because I knew it would work out so well. And now I'm like, damn, now the Knicks are in really good position. He's a guy who fits the new NBA. He's about defense, versatility. So I feel like the Knicks did a really good job. Scott Perry's done a really good job in the front office with moving some of the salaries and bringing some young guys. Now he's got his head coach, and it looks like the Knicks are definitely in the right direction on and off the court. But talking draft picks, they had the 9th overall pick. They drafted Kevin Knox. A lot of upside. You know, he kind of leaked it earlier in the day that he had a promise from the Knicks. His biggest concern going to the draft was motivation, and was he going to be aggressive enough in the NBA to be a scorer? Will he prove that wrong in summer league? You know, very aggressive, attacking the rim, had a couple ferocious dunks. I think he made the summer league, all summer league team. So what were your thoughts on Knox drafted number 9 overall by the Knicks?
Love Kevin Knox. And I will admit it right now, I'm not a big college basketball watcher. I watch March Madness. I do a couple brackets. And between highlights, and I don't even watch them at SportsCenter anymore. Between the highlights, though, and March Madness is where I get a lot of my draft stock. And I saw, obviously, Kevin Knox a couple times. And then watching him, as you mentioned, I mean, just seeing the length, you see the potential, the athletic ability, the height, the length. You think, wow, if this guy can be pretty good if the offense is there. And then in summer league, like you mentioned, I mean, he averaged 21 points per game. You know, he did a handful of rebounds and assists per game. He did a little bit of everything. He had a couple nice dunks. He got out in transition. I just think this is the right guy. I mean, you put this guy next to Porzingis with that kind of length, like it feels like that's a slight trend happening in the NBA. You want guys with length. Ntilikina, and he's got decent length too, I believe.
Yeah, you want length at every position nowadays. Versatility, switchability. We saw the Western Conference Finals between the Rockets and the Warriors. You want a guy that can defend at least four positions, it feels like. And Knox is a guy. I think there's a lot of potential there. Still raw. So this season's almost going to be perfect for him to develop that skill set and kind of get a lot of touches, handle the ball a lot, and see what he can do. And still being so young, he'll probably be able to unlock different parts of his game moving forward.
For sure. I think David Fizdale, I think we'll talk about this, obviously. I think he'll be one of David Fizdale's favorite players by year's end.
Yeah, and you like the mentality he has. And I think someone asked him about winning Rookie of the Year, and he talked about wanting to win games and make the playoffs and people sleeping on them. I mean, obviously, the Knicks aren't going to be very good, but you like that mindset from a young player. Do you think Knox has a chance at Rookie of the Year?
I mean, I think Luka Doncic is probably going to take it, or DeAndre Ayton. I think those are my two studs for it. But he'll definitely be in the top five, I think, especially with Porzingis, you know, missing time. I think Kevin Knox will take advantage of the extra touches.
Yeah, he could definitely have a really good opportunity to see a lot of touches. I think one thing that'll impact him in his rookie of the year chances will be the point guard position. Can someone stabilize the show and make life a little bit easier for him? We don't know that yet. We'll see what happens. Moving on to the second round pick by the Knicks, Mitchell Robinson, 36 overall. You know, great value. He's an interesting case because he didn't play college basketball because of some eligibility issues and things along those lines. But he had a big summer league, averaged, I believe, almost 4 blocks a game, set some records, was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I knew nothing about this kid coming into the draft, and I was watching the draft with some of my buddies, and when the Knicks drafted him, he's like, wow, like, that's another really good pick by the Knicks. Like, this kid could be special defensively if he just keeps his head on his shoulders. He has some off-the-court issues, I believe. And he's showed that in summer league. I mean, this guy's got some crazy length, and the defensive ability is there. Is he just got to, you know, keep working at it, stay energized like he is, but he could be a serious rim protector playing alongside Porzingis, another guy who's got a big wingspan. Another guy who I think probably late in games, if he plays well offensively, will get the runtime over Kanter, who can't really defend anybody.
Yeah. He fits into NBA. You know, there's been the Clint Capela comparison, being that rim runner, shot blocker, you know, perfect fit. Mobility's a thing, you know, defending guys rolling along the perimeter. And anytime you can get a first-round talent in the second round, you know, the only reason he fell is, like we talked about, is the college basketball issues. But there's no question that he has the talent of a first-rounder. So another solid pick by the Knicks and another perfect situation for him. Coming into a team where there's going to be opportunity to play for young guys. They're looking for young guys to play, long as James Dolan doesn't get his hands on everything and makes him compete for an 8 seed. I think this will work out really nicely for both rookies. And going forward, the Knicks could land 2 pieces for them in the future. You know, Knox looking like he'll be a starter possibly down the road, and then Robinson looking like he'll be a solid rotation piece with the potential of honestly being a starter.
Yeah, I would agree. There's definitely I'd probably say there's like a 25% chance he's a starter because of the Knicks, you know, centers on this roster.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we got to see player development and how he handles off-the-court stuff and whatnot, but, you know, it's a really nice draft for the Knicks to possibly nail 2 picks. Obviously, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves because they haven't played in the actual NBA yet, but everything from Summer League has trended in the right direction. Moving to free agents, though. Biggest free agent signing, Mario Hezonja, 1 year, $6.5 million. You know, he had probably his best stretch as a pro last year with Orlando when they had some injuries. A lot of offensive game, not much defense. Thoughts on Hezonja going to New York?
The Kobe Bryant of European basketball is now in the mecca of sports. I mean, I just have this strange I like it. It's a good signing. You know, the kid's still young. He obviously has tremendous confidence. I think he's going to be a solid player for them. I do think a lot of bad tendencies, though, could possibly be made this year. Because of the lack of offensive options around him, I do feel like Hezonja, there's like a slight chance if like Hardaway Jr. was to get hurt and Porzingis doesn't come back, that Hezonja's tossing up like 25 shots per game and just really thinks he's Kobe Bryant. I do think David Fizdale would probably, you know, pull him real quick if that was to happen, at least unless he was effective. Who knows? Maybe he does become Kobe Bryant.
In Orlando have not worked out, you know, firsthand with your boy Oladipo.
Wouldn't that be tremendous? It'd be tremendous if in 10 years Hezonja is a better player than Aaron Gordon. Wouldn't that be like the funniest thing? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he'll get better than Aaron Gordon, but I would not be surprised if Hezonja left and he turned into a really solid player, somebody who could be maybe a fill-in starter or a bench scorer. Defensively is the main issue, but maybe Fizdale can teach him a few things. And like we've always talked about, defense is more about energy and effort. And if you put in the effort, it's going to show up a lot bigger. And if you have guys behind you like a Porzingis who can protect the rim and kind of clean up your mess, that'll help too. It'll be a good year for him to showcase his skills. Like I've heard on other shows, you know, the 1 year 6.5 is a little bit sucky for the Knicks in the sense that he has a really good season and then all of a sudden the Knicks don't have his bird rights or anything and he can just go sign elsewhere and now they're losing him and they just allowed him to become that player and now they get nothing for him. I think a team option for the second year would have been ideal.
Yeah, I mean, the team option would definitely have protected the Knicks in a situation like that. I guess
he wanted to come to New York. He wanted to come. I know he had interest in Brooklyn as well, and he wanted to come to, like, just to New York City. And obviously, New York City being so diverse is always great for international players.
I'm telling you, I think we talked about this on the last recording of this pod. I think a lot of people do want to come to New York now. I think, like, both cities, both boroughs between New York City and Brooklyn, like, both these young cores or teams. I mean, I think Brooklyn is far more along than the Knicks are. And Brooklyn, you can see a lot more coming together, I think, than the Knicks. The Knicks still have a lot of question marks. But, like, these are becoming two destinations that are going to attract players. And I think it's starting, like, right with guys like Hezonja and just these smaller, smart moves. And then, obviously, Brooklyn has a lot of stuff going on over there, which is for a different podcast. But the New York area is becoming a destination that's growing in intrigue and interest around the league, I think.
Yeah, Manhattan and Brooklyn definitely doing their thing.
And all eyes are on you.
Yeah,
like, everyone comes to see the Knicks anyways. Even when they're bad, people go to see the Knicks. And if you're relevant, you're like the Yankees. Forget it. Forget it. New York loves their basketball.
Endorsements for days. You know, there's just a ton of opportunities, a ton of great things to do. There's anything you want in the city, you can always get to. So I think, you know, obviously New York
is. Neither team has a face yet. I mean, like, we see guys who could possibly be the face of the franchise. You know, Porzingis.
I'd say Porzingis. I would give Porzingis the nod as the face of the franchise just because I think you think New York, and he showed enough last year. Obviously, there is the question mark with his injury, but I would give Porzingis the face of the
Knicks. Right, but I'm saying, like, he's not a star, though, that, like, couldn't be overtaken by another star joining.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If a KD or a Kawhi or even a Kyrie, they could probably overtake him.
Exactly.
But I think he could probably get to the level of those guys. I'm very high on Porzingis, but obviously I want to see what he comes back from that knee injury. But I think they're in a really good shape. You know, Sean Marks, Scott Perry, both guys doing great jobs with their team and doing things the right way instead of doing it the old way, spending a ton of money like Phil Jackson and Billy King did. You know, you make this and do it the right way, you're going to attract players, worry about them, treat them right, and guys are going to want to come play for you. But enough about that. Moving on to their other free agent signing, Noah Vonleh, 1 year veteran minimum. Another flyer and a young guy. You know, hasn't really worked out. It's been to a couple different spots. 22 years old, though, so there is potential there. But I haven't seen a ton from Vonleh that makes me believe he's going to be a solid NBA player moving forward.
I was a big Vonleh guy from his Indiana days. I believe he played with Oladipo. I mean, no, Cody Zeller did. Or maybe, no, Cody Zeller did. From his Indiana days, Vonleh, though. And he's okay. He, like you said, though, he's never found really a rotational spot. He had some nice moments in Portland. He really didn't do anything with the Bulls once he got traded. It's a flyer. It's a low risk. You really don't have a center right now. You know, as much as I like Robinson, that guy is still hit or miss. So maybe Vonleh can earn a rotational spot. I still don't think he's ever going to be a starter. This is like his last shot, though, realistically. I mean, he's been in a couple places now. He obviously is on the move again to his third place. If it doesn't really work out in New York, if he can't become a solid, you know, 15 to 25 minute guy, you know, he's in trouble for an NBA job. And he's gonna have time to at least prove it, but he's gotta prove it this year.
Yeah, he's gonna have a really good opportunity to just showcase his skills. And you know, he's played, like you said, Chicago, Portland. He was drafted by Charlotte. So there's just – he's had the opportunities in other spots. Maybe the Knicks can do something with him, or maybe he'll come to the realization. I think for bigs, the one thing – and he kind of has a skill set that fits this. If you want to stay in the league and you want to find minutes, you want to find a contract, rebound, play defense, set good screens, finish inside. You know, you do all those things. You don't have to be flashy. You do the small things. Someone's going to sign you, and they're going to need you because that's always what they want bigs to do, at least at some point on the bench.
Fundamentals.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, you know, is hurting guys like Jahlil Okafor, who had a trouble finding a contract this year, didn't sign till a few weeks ago with the Pelicans, and I think it's a non-guaranteed deal. He's a guy where he needs to just learn the fundamentals and play the right way, and then the other stuff will just kind of come along. But moving on from Vonleh, they signed Kadeem Allen, Alonzo Trier, two-way contracts, you know, training camp guys, nothing too big there. They re-signed Luke Kornet and Isaiah Hicks, two bigs for the Knicks. You know, they picked them up last year, showed some things, but, you know, nothing too crazy. Taking another flyer on them and see if they can develop into rotational guys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see anything. I mean, these guys are just they're benchmarks. They help you get by for the point in time where you're still not that relevant. Cornette was solid for them. I think he's kind of, I think someone mentioned it that we had on earlier, mentioned kind of like a great value Porzingis almost.
Yeah, he has some 3-point shooting. You know, he's a guy. He's not going to be as athletic as Porzingis, but he seems like he knows the fundamentals. He can shoot the 3 ball at the 5 position. Somebody maybe he can develop a little bit more, and you could keep him around.
Yeah, plays hard.
Exactly. That's what you're looking for these guys. Moving on to departures, though, Michael Beasley, Jared Jack, Kyle O'Quinn, Troy Williams. What are they going to lose getting rid of these guys?
Michael Beasley, I mean, you're missing a lot of comedy. You're missing nail polish. I mean, he's a character, man. He wants to be the modern day Dennis Rodman, I feel like, to a degree. But you're going to lose some of his offense, but you don't need him. You don't want to win games. And Michael Beasley is going to go out there and I think, you know, get buckets.
He might drop 30 one night. He had some really good games for the Knicks where he won them games when they didn't even really want to win.
He was a nice pickup at times in FanDuel. I mean, he was actually like a really solid, like, value pick at times. So, hot and cold guy. Definitely hot and cold. But like the nights he was hot, it was like you were in the money. Like you were winning if Michael Beasley. That's Michael Beasley. If he's hot, you're winning money. You're winning. You're either winning games on the court or you're winning on FanDuel or fantasy basketball, whatever you play. So I think you're not missing him because you don't want to win. Jared Jack, I mean, no. I love Jared Jack. I mean, he's been everywhere. What team has he not played on at this point? I feel like he has been on at least two handfuls of teams, nearing a dozen.
Yeah, I would say so. And he's one of the most liked guys in the NBA. You never hear anyone say anything bad about him.
Steph Curry speaks so highly of him. Steph Curry, I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast the other day, and he said like one of the earlier years, like Jared Jack was like a huge part of why they started like winning. Like he like was a big like locker room guy and like really helped Curry.
I believe KD actually called Jared Jack when he made.
He did.
The move to Golden State. So
he said, "What did you think about when you were there? What were your thoughts?" And he was like, "I loved it," and that was like it. He sold him right there. He played time with your Nets, the Knicks. Obviously, you don't want Jared Jack playing right now. Not when you have Ntilikina. You know, Trey Burke has shown that he could maybe be a six man. So I think you want to give the young guards a chance. You know, Jared Jack is now part of the future, and you got to look for the future.
Yeah, he's a guy that might tag onto somebody's bench as the 15th guy, just a locker room steadying force.
He'll be somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if like the Hawks picked him up at some point in time this year.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Jack. But like you said, you know, with the Knicks situation, it didn't make sense to really retain any of these guys, so it kind of worked out. Moving on to the prediction portion of the show, starting five on opening night for the Knicks.
Ntilikina, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., I guess Lance Thomas, and then Kanter.
This is
the
tough.
Power forward for me is really tough because I almost want to say Kevin Knox right opening night, but I just don't think he'll start a rookie like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Hasonia either. This is probably one of the tougher starting lineups because we don't have a full idea of the direction they're going to go. Are they going to try to win some games early and play like their actual best, most established players? Are they just going to go straight young and play all the young guys and see what happens? So you guys have kind of swayed me. I think Frank Ntilikina, Hardaway, Lee. I have this feeling Hasonia is going to start. I don't know why. I just have that vibe. And then Enes Kanter as well. I think that's one of the reasons, you know, I mentioned that Hasonia wanted to come there. I also think they kind of sold him on the idea. And I think Lance Thomas had a really bad season last year. But if they do want the defense, they'll go with Lance Thomas.
What I can say is I think they're going to start, as you mentioned, like with the – like who are they going to play? They're going to try to win games early. I think what they're really going to be doing is not trying to win games necessarily, but trying to show the value of Kanter and Courtney Lee.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think you want those guys to be playing a lot in October and November. So then hopefully by like middle of December, you're trading those guys away. So I think that's the mindset in starting those guys because I think you're right on the Hasonia front. I would not be shocked if they told him like, you're going to come here, be a starter. And because Lance Thomas, as you mentioned, I mean, it's a shame what happened to him and Shumpert, you know, a knee injury and those two guys, their careers really just went downwards. Still good defenders, just their offensive games have completely diminished. So I would not be – I wouldn't ask – you're right. I think Hasonia might get the knock, especially if he comes into camp playing well.
And if he plays some defense, it'll be easy to kind of give him the start. It'll give him some spacing, some three-point shooting. Having Kanter down there doesn't obviously space well. And then Frank, you know, the jump shot isn't, you know, consistent yet, but it could be this year. But breakout starter for the Knicks.
breakout starter, my guy Frank the Tank. This is the point guard, Knicks fans. This is the one. I think this is the year that he takes another step. It's a nice sophomore year. I'm predicting 16-7. I think he's
big
going
numbers.
To fix. Yeah, I mean, and also, granted, Nick, can I think about this inflation? Michael Carter Williams Jr. almost averaged like a triple double close to a triple double his first season.
One rookie of the year.
Yeah. So on a bad team, generally there are some inflated stats. I think Nikola Kina may be one of those guys, but not in a bad way. I think his jump shot is going to be a little bit better. I think he'll have to be more aggressive. I think Fizdale is a really good point guard coach. I mean, he was the coach of Mike Conley before Mike Conley got that huge deal. Obviously Mike Conley is a really good proven NBA player, and Nikola needs to get to that level. But I think Fizdale is going to literally get the best out of Frank. The defense is already there. It's just becoming more consistent and being more aggressive offensively.
Yeah, I think the aggression is a really big key, because at times last year you saw Frank drive to the paint and he probably had a layup, but instead he passed the ball off to somebody else. For me, I think breakout starter as well is Frank, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Hezonja. I don't know. I've been pretty high on him. I just think there's potential the Magic haven't tapped. But back to Frank, I think, you know, the offseason, we've seen a lot of good work from him, and having the opportunity and Fizdale in his ear telling him to be that guy, I think will really help him. I don't know if he'll get to 16-7. I could see the assist a little bit more, just the scoring numbers. I know he's a little bit more timid in terms of taking a lot of shots. And when you have a guy like Hardaway who's going to be shooting a lot, I don't know if he'll get up to that number. But assist-wise, he looks like he has some major skills. I also like Frank as a guy who can play, you know, one or two. You could play him off-ball a little bit with that defense and that length and that size. So it's not even like he has to be your lock as the point guard moving forward. If they were to sign Kyrie next year, I think you could possibly pair those two depending on how he develops this year. But breakout bench player for the Knicks.
Kevin Knox, my guy. I think this is going to be his breakout year off the bench, which is going to earn him a starting spot with the New York Knicks at some point. And I'm guessing, you know, mid-December to mid-January, somewhere in that range, maybe as far as the deadline. Because I do think Courtney Lee gets dealt. And I think Kevin Knox takes advantage of the fact that he's playing superbly off the bench. So for me,
yeah,
it's
like
Kevin
the-
Knox.
I like
and then once he moves into the starting lineup, I think Trey Burke becomes the next guy. But the first half of the year, definitely Kevin Knox.
I agree. I think Knox will probably push himself in the starting lineup. Even if he's not playing amazing, I think the Knicks just want to see more from him and give him bigger minutes. And I think Trey Burke, this will be a year where he proves he's an NBA player. I don't know the numbers will be as high as last year, but I think he'll find a little bit more consistency and prove, all right, this is a guy that can stick around the NBA. He might not be a starting point guard, but he's a guy you can bring off the bench, give you some major scoring. Defense is always going to be an issue, but he can still put up shots. So I think that's going to work out for him.
Let me tell you a story, Nick. So there was this one time, and this might have been like 2K15, and I was playing like my season mode, and like, I don't know about you, but like I used to simulate the seasons pretty much and just do the off season. Like I didn't play games. Like I was just, I like the GM part.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember like looking at like the off season awards, and like Trey Burke finished like fourth in MVP voting one year. Like I'm not even kidding you. He averaged like 29-9 and shot like 50% from three, like 45 from the field. And I was just like, what is this? And who knows? Maybe that's what's happening. He made the turn last year. Maybe this is the takeoff.
I mean, he was highly touted coming out of the draft. I believe he was drafted by the Jazz. And
it looked like Michigan.
Yeah, and it looked like he was going to be that guy, and then it just didn't work out in Utah. He, I think, played with Wizards for a little bit, now went to the G League, and now he's with the Knicks. So it's a good opportunity for him, see if he can kind of prove himself. But best case scenario for the Knicks next year in terms of the season?
We're still on this. best case scenario for the Knicks is – all right, because I'm going to use this in my terms of how I see it as best case. Best case is they win under 20 games. They win under 20 games. Porzingis doesn't come back. Nikola Kina and Knox look fantastic. You get rid of Courtney Lee and hopefully Kanter as well, and you get a top three pick in the upcoming draft, and you get Zion, or my personal favorite would be RJ Barrett. And then you're ready and loaded, and maybe a guy like Kyrie Irving or Jimmy Butler, they hop on, and all of a sudden the Knicks are both, and this Knicks team all of a sudden is really, really relevant.
Yeah, and not only relevant in terms of, you know, competing right then. Yeah, and then they'll have young pieces that even get better moving forward. That's best case. You know, I think in the win, if we're looking for like an optimistic Knicks fans best case scenario, 34 wins, Porzingis comes back, they compete for the 8 seed, they probably don't get in there. But in the other, on the other terms, on the opposite direction, best case would be having a bad season, end up with a top three pick. You know, the young guys really develop, you end up with a hype, you end up with another draft pick for Lee or Kanter or a combination of both. And now you're in great position for the offseason, and you buy out Joakim Noah at some point during the year to get him off the books. Or, you know, in some miraculous way, you see him moved, which is highly unlikely. But Timothy Mozgov has moved this offseason, so I don't think anything's impossible. Worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario is them finishing a few games under 500, whether that be 40 and 42. I know the other day I said 40 and 44. Their season was not extended. 40 and 42, or, you know, I don't know, 38. So, like, right around there where the East is so bad that an 8 seed is somehow an under 500 team, like the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, probably a handful. Wow, it was a really long time ago now. Like 5 years ago when Brandon Jennings and Monte Ellis were in Milwaukee. And they make the playoffs, and then you're getting a crappy lottery pick. Porzingis comes back, you get an 8 seed, and you're bounced in the first round by the Celtics in five games probably, because the Porzingis issue, I think, is a problem because Celtics have no true center. But that's you know, that's the worst case, is you compete and then you ruin yourself in the draft, and who knows, maybe somebody gets hurt because they come back too soon. That's my worst case.
I think even worst case would be not getting in the playoffs. It would be like that 30-win range where you're bad.
You don't even
get, yeah, you don't even get the 8 seed, so it's not even a good sell for the free agents. You play the veterans too much. You don't move Lee. You don't move Kanter. You know, Knox doesn't look like he's ready. Same thing with Robinson. Same thing with Frank. They're all a year or two away, and now it's a lot harder to sell free agents, and you're just caught in between, and now you don't get a top 5 pick. You get a top 10 pick, but the talent really drops off after number 5. So that would probably be worst case. Actual prediction for the season.
My actual prediction is 24 wins. I think they're just going to be right in the – wait, no. Was that – yeah, no. That's – oh, that feels really – all right. Oh, that's right. All right. 24 wins. Oh, man, that just feels so high. 24 wins. I'm okay. Done talking.
I think I'll go with I'll give you two. I'll give you 22 wins if Porzingis doesn't come back at all. If Porzingis were to come back, I think he'll come back late and they'll still only be in the high 20s, like a 28, 29. And I think they do end up moving, you know, Lee or Kanter in a package where they end up grabbing another first round pick. And you see solid development from all the young guys and they look good moving forward. I don't know if I'll lock them in for a free agent next year, but I think they'd be in a really good case and they'll at least get meetings with the big names out there.
I'm going to copy and paste, Nick.
All right, I like that.
But 24 wins. But I think you're right. I think definitely, depending on the Porzingis injury, the win total will probably shift a handful of games.
Yeah, and, you know, we can't expect a ton from Porzingis being rusty coming back from injury. I don't think he's going to, like, push him over the top or anything. And, like, I still don't see him coming back any earlier than January. I know some people have said maybe December, but January seems like the most realistic idea. I mean, we're going – you know, technology has really improved. So back in the day, it definitely would have been February or March, but now it looks like it's a little bit closer. But what emoji would represent the Knicks, the truth?
Thinking face. For me, it's a thinking face because I'm thinking about the fact how New York basketball in general is on the up and up. I'm thinking about what it's going to be like when two teams in New York are going to be relevant. And then I'm also thinking about how fun this Knicks team could possibly be if these young guys hit.
Yeah, it really could. I mean, the whole entire like Atlantic division is really interesting because you have the Knicks and the Nets kind of ascending, you know, potentially be really good moving forward. We don't know what's going to happen. They could sign the star free agents. But then you have Philly and Boston who are going to be good teams for the next 5 to 10 years. So that whole Northeast, you know, region is really going to be dominant. But for me, it's going to be the baby emoji, because I think this season should be all about the young guys developing.
Fair. They need it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it, like I said earlier in the show, this is actually the time to do the rebuild the right way. And I think it'll work out really nicely. But league pass rating for the Knicks.
Well, we see it on cable. But if I had to watch it on league pass, I'd probably say 4.5. I think 4.5 is about right. I think I think Kevin Knox and Ntilikina will draw enough of my interest just to see how those young guys play. They have to play the Pacers four times. So those are four games I got to watch anyways. But I say 4.5 because, you know, it's New York. So if I want to watch it, it's always here. It's pretty much anywhere you go out, the next game is going to be on. So I'll say, I'll say 4.5.
I'm going to go with 3.5. I think if Porzingis were back, it'd be like a 5.5. And usually I watch the Knicks just because of like a negative perspective, because people are always talking about, I'm a Nets fan, so I want to watch them lose. But this year I won't really have to worry as much, especially if KP's not there. But the young guys do have some interest, but I think at certain points they're just going to be really bad because of the point guard play. You know, I think Frank will develop, but starting the year, playmaking-wise, they could have some major trouble.
Yeah, playmaking could be a serious issue.
Yeah, even if you look throughout the whole roster, I think, you know, going to the season, it's putting a lot of pressure on Hardaway, Frank Ntilikina, and Burke. You know, these guys are all going to have to play make a lot with other wing positions. You know, you can't ask Knox to really create a lot right off the bat, not playing in the NBA. You never know. If he works out, you know, the way that a lot of people expect, it could be easier, but I think playmaking could be a concern. But what TV show would you watch over the Knicks?
What show would I watch over these New York Knickerbockers? I think I picked a different show each time we've done the Knicks, because I'm making sure I do these off my head. I refuse to write down a TV show. I watch too many. I should know all of them. Okay. What show would I watch over the Knicks? Bloodline.
Yeah, I like it.
I got you on Bloodline. I'm sorry, because yeah, after the first season, it was a big letdown. The first season was really good. And then it's a show that just wanted to suck up more ratings and just not die. So then the two seasons after were just an extension of the first season, and it got worse and worse. It was like a sequel almost. The first movie was the best of the trilogy, and then it got worse and worse. And it was like Godfather Part 3 for the third season. Started off hot, had the head coach of Friday Night Lights, the TV show, was the main character in it. He's fantastic. But it burned out really quick for me.
Yeah, I think what they needed to do is just have a major change to the plot line. And I think in certain times in shows, like when everything goes bad and there's only like a few good things that happen, at some point for some seasons, you need something really good to happen or some type of relief for you and the characters. And that show just never really provided that. There's always some trouble brewing. So I would agree. Bloodline's a pretty good show. I'll go with Modern Family. Not a huge fan of the show, but if it's on sometimes, I'm trying to burn like 15 minutes before a game starts or something, maybe I'll check it out. Knicks aren't too high on my list, so Modern Family for me. But that wraps it up for the New York Knicks. You know, Corey, as always, thank you for hopping on. Thank everybody for listening. Also, shout out to Michael Ryan and Harris Wichard, who tried to record it with us, but some technical issues. And you could check out the show and all the previews on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio.
Peace out, knuckleheads.